As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
The only way to score is, of course, to play with a handbrake off.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone. This is Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Now, you join us during Arsenal's 19-day break. Man City up next on Easter Sunday. We'll be previewing that game in next week's episode. So today, we're covering the biggest Arsenal talking points elsewhere, including Benjamin White's new contract, also Takahiro Tomiyasu as well, and the England situation with Ben White, and a bit on our Champions League quarterfinal opponents, Bayern Munich. I am joined by Amy Lawrence and Art de Roche.
Before we talk about the football, Bukayo Saka, he did a little announcement the other day about how he's teamed up with Nando's and he's released a special Peri Peri Saka sauce. And he said the sauce mixes sweet spiciness and smokiness. Art, what would you go for in a sauce if you had one? The Art de Roche
sauce. I think he's got the name, the surname to kind of have a ring.
Saka sauce, that's true.
But I could only really think of something to do with barbecue sauce. I kind of went off ketchup a few years ago, and I don't like mayo.
What do you mean you went off ketchup?
I don't know. You know when you taste something so often that you just like, I'm kind of bored of this now?
Yeah.
Now barbecue sauce is my thing. But I'm not sure about a name for it just yet.
All right, well, we'll work on that. The Art de Roche barbecue sauce. Amy, the Lawrence, the luscious Lawrence, perhaps. But anyway, I mean, I don't know. Anything in particular? Would you choose a sauce? Do you go at Nando's, by the way? Do you even go at Nando's?
Listen, I have two teenagers. Think there's not a lot of Nando's going on, you need to be paying attention.
That's what I liked. That's what I liked about this, by the way, because he said that he's been to Nando's so many times as a kid, and then he's got a sauce named after him in Nando's. I'm just happy for him.
It's probably, you know, as big as playing for England, I would have thought, in some ways. You know, it's a big thing.
Do you think?
Well, no, I was going to say I'd probably have some sort of winey sauce. Make of that what you will. But just one last sauce-related comment. Somebody we know who's a young footballer of quite high distinction, not going to say anything more than that, was round the other day and it was pizza time, not Nando's, I'm afraid. And he went for the, can I have some ketchup, please?
On a pizza?
Ketchup on pizza. This was new to me. I'm just wondering whether any of you guys have come across this before and might be slightly less appalled than I was.
I vaguely, like, it's in my consciousness as a thing, but I don't do it.
I'd leave the restaurant if they did that. I'm sorry. I can't be watching someone put ketchup on a pizza. That is desecrating.
He's such a fantastic kid.
I don't care. I'm not having it. Anyway, I'd have something hot and spicy, obviously. I mean, I would like a little bit of sweetness as well. Stone sauce, right? It works, doesn't it? The stone sauce. I think I've got
it. It sounds a bit gritty.
Does it? Maybe it's got a bit of grit in it. That's all right. That's how you get the pearl out of the oyster, Amy. anyway, let's talk about Benjamin White, shall we?
Can't believe we spent nearly 5 minutes talking about sauce. Sorry, listener. Did.
Well, that's because there's not a huge amount going on, but there is obviously Benjamin White's new contract and also the fact that he ruled himself out of playing for England. Amy, I know what you think, and we'll get to you in a second, but are you an England fan or an Arsenal fan first?
I'm Arsenal first.
Yeah, I think all three of us actually are Arsenal first. That being said, I like seeing our boys play for England. I did do a corporate a few years ago with Gareth Southgate, and we spent quite a lot of time talking about Bukayo Saka, and he absolutely loves him. And when he played, when we played in the Euros and he played against Germany, he was the one who lifted everyone. He took a German player on, beat him, and the whole of Wembley just stood up. And Gareth Southgate agreed that that was almost a catalyst moment for this England team. Having said that, I have no problem with Benjamin White's decision. What do you think about what? There was a report of a bust up between him and Steve Holland at Qatar. We don't know, by the way. The assistant coach denies it. Do you have any strong feelings about this? I know other people do.
My strongest feeling would be in support of Benjamin White. I don't think it's really, again, it probably sounds weird to say this on a podcast, but it's not really our business what he feels is the right decision. Who are we to kind of, I guess, give him any advice? And also, I guess, more so pundits as well. Feels quite weird for the people who, I guess, understand that environment.
They're paid for their opinions, though,
they are. But
so people ask him, so they give an opinion.
True, but I just feel like when you may know where a player's coming from, who are you almost to tell them what they should be doing or shouldn't be doing? So, yeah, in my point of view, no issues with Benjamin White and his decision.
Amy, to a certain extent, it seems like almost a divide between fans and pundits and or ex-players and pundits and fans. There seems to be a lot of ex-players. Harry Redknapp said it was disgusting, which is a bit ridiculous, to be honest with you. But whereas a lot of fans seem to think, you know what, it's his life. Do what he wants with it.
I couldn't care less what anybody thinks, truth be told. I think it's almost a weird aspect of the judgmental world that we live in. And I think particularly in football, we're dealing with people. We've become quite dangerously down the line of being judgmental about people's choices, people's habits, people's lifestyles, people's decisions. And that's nothing to do with the way they play. And I think it's really dangerous and disappointing culturally and socially, because essentially, you know, we're all individually trying to get through this crazy thing called life the best we can. And every single person, whether they are, you know, an extremely notable celebrity footballer or anything else, or whether they're someone who's quite a hermit who doesn't interact with too many people, it's tough going through life. We've all got our stuff. And I admire those who have the courage to maybe go against the grain and make decisions that make their life the best it can be, because we all go around once. And who knows what the thinking is for Ben White, but I just think when you globally look at the footballer's life, it is a relentless kind of fast train of pressure. That's their life. And yes, they're very handsomely rewarded for it, but they're still flesh and blood and feelings and problems like everybody else. And if you're the type of person who figures that trying to ease that load is the way to live your life the best, and you're lucky enough to be able to make a choice about how you live your life, you know, everybody out there can appreciate that there is a thing called a work-life balance, or maybe a school-life balance if you're younger, that is tricky. And everybody wants to try and get that best sweet spot where you can manage both as well as can be. But it's not the same for everybody. And if you're lucky enough that you can manipulate that, the scales, to suit yourself better, well played, Ben White. You know, if it suits you best, for whatever your reasons are, to take a kind of semi-breather during international breaks rather than go from day to day to day to day to pressure to pressure to pressure to thinking about the game, to analysing the game, to training for the game, to rest, recovery, match, travel, you know, that intensity of existence, especially if you're not necessarily playing. I think it's a really modern switched on choice. And I think that there is a conversation to be had about the kind of well-being of players, not just physically, because obviously the virtual 365-day-a-year schedule that they now have is hard. I was really taken by Jurgen Klopp's decision to, you know, to take his break. Because from the outside looking in, he looks like he handles everything, you know, in his own way. But what do we know about how he manages his... It's not right to say work-life balance, because it's so consuming to be a manager of a massive institution like that. We saw it with Arsene and Sir Alex Ferguson and those guys who are more than a manager and a real figurehead for their clubs. It's a huge responsibility that you carry with you 24/7. And it occurred to me that, yeah, managers should be able to take a break, like people in other jobs should be able to if they're lucky enough to be able to afford to. But also even players. And although it wouldn't be tolerated and lots of people would think, are you mad? You know, they're paid to play football. But if you need a bit, if you're having a rough time, you need a little bit of a breather. You know, they can only take holiday, not when it suits them because they need a break, but when it suits the international calendar. You know, sometimes they just might need a couple of weeks to back off, to catch their breath, to deal with some of the pressure that is constant. And I'm not sure that football is yet switched on enough on a wellbeing perspective to figure out ways of doing that. But I'd like to think that sometimes, that one day we can get to a place where, you know, player X might be missing because he's got a groin injury or a inflamed Achilles, but player Y might be missing for a game or two because he needs a break.
Yeah, and I mean, you're not, like, as you say, you're Arsenal over England. I mean, I'm assuming it doesn't mean you don't support England, but it's just Arsenal is just the priority, and that's essentially what Ben White has said as well. Do you think there's a bit of inflated outrage over this because it's England and there's a patriotic angle to it?
Yeah, I don't think the press conference helped much either. But to Amy's point on the whole, I guess, player welfare and actually being able to take a break when you need to, you have started to see it a little bit in the women's game with Miedemar about a year ago. She took, I think, a couple of weeks out because she was just feeling drained. And when she came back, she said she felt like she was playing some of her best stuff again. Yeah. So you have seen a little bit of it in that side of the game. But yeah, I think for the long term, I think it was probably going to take a lot of work in the men's game, because it's not the first time a player's done that with England. I think very maybe different circumstances, but Michael Carrick springs to mind, Paul Scholes as well.
Scholes retired from the international game.
Yeah. So it's not the first time it's happened, but I guess you maybe need a few more players to maybe just speak up for themselves as well, in a way that we obviously know Ben White's very comfortable doing.
no doubt about that. No doubt whatsoever. Amy, good news from Arsenal. Forgetting the sort of mental health aspects and all the rest of it, and we respect him for that. But good news for Arsenal, you think? I mean, essentially, he comes back rested from the break. It's not like he looks the way he's playing. It doesn't look like he needs much of a rest. But hopefully, less worry about injuries and stuff like that. I mean, my own personal...
He's carried that position. He's had a lot of load this season in terms of minutes. So that's got to be helpful. For the run-in, for sure,
and a new contract as well, and I think everyone is delighted by that. By the way, if you want to hear more on this subject, our very own James McNicholas was on the Athletic FC podcast yesterday discussing why Benjamin White has made this decision. Can we have a ruling, by the way? I mean, I sometimes slip to Ben White. You said it as well, Art. Is it Ben or Benjamin? I mean, I often wonder whether he's doing it, whether Benjamin White is saying we have to call him Benjamin just to annoy us a little bit, because I think I would respect him if he did that.
I don't really find it annoying. Like, if it's his name and
yeah, but you called him Ben as well.
But
you just
called
him
Did I call him Ben?
Twice.
Oh, sorry. I might switch them time to time, but I mean, both is fine, I guess.
Right. Right. I mean, the other person who has signed a new contract, Takahiro Tomiyasu, signed a new deal for the club, announced this morning. Amy, he's had a few injury problems, but he's so solid, isn't he? I mean, I remember a game against Liverpool last year when he played at left back, and he basically marked Mo Salah out of the game. I mean, when he's fit, he's such a huge addition to the squad, isn't he?
Yeah, I think... personality and character-wise, I was just watching the video announcement of his new contract, and the word dedication was the one that was the kind of foundation stone for what they were saying about him as a club, and I guess he was saying about himself. And I think his way he carries himself and plays kind of screams dedication, and always has. And having someone like him in the squad is incredibly valuable. And in some ways, he set the sort of standard for what we've come to see in defenders under Arteta, which is that flexibility to play in across a bunch of
anywhere
positions.
Yeah,
because that's become common. It's probably only Saliba that seems to be the one who's most established in one sole position.
He's quite but good in that position, though, isn't he?
He is decent.
Fair.
Yeah. So, but you know, Gabriel has had a bit more flexibility in where he plays. We'd expect the same of Timber. Kivior has shown fantastic adaptability in the way that he's taken to that left back role. Zinchenko, we know, goes all over the place. Benjamin White, his full
well.
Moniker.
Bruce. No.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Anyway, him. He's also. So, yeah, but I think Tommy was probably the first to come in at the back and show that the benefits of having that amount of flexibility. And now it's almost a prerequisite. So.
Yeah. And well loved at the club. I mean, you're writing a little backgrounder on Tommy. When's it coming out, and what can we expect? You don't have to read it to us, but tell us what's in it.
So yeah, that should be out tomorrow morning, English time, obviously. And yeah, just delves more into that personality and dedication that Amy was talking about, but also a bit on his kind of footballing education in Japan, in Belgium and in Italy. So yeah, hopefully people like it, and yeah, can only echo everything Amy said about his versatility as well. And yeah, I think when you look at Arsenal fullbacks now compared to before he came, the other thing that's very striking is just their stature, and he's obviously a massive part of that. If you look at him compared to, say, Hector Bellerin or Cedric Suarez, for instance, you can see a very big change, not just stylistically, but in that regard too.
Just so likable. Everybody loves him at the club. You can see that. One more thing before we move on from this. Amy, pretty much everyone is on long contracts now. I saw a graphic on Twitter, all the pictures of the players, and they're all there till 2027, 2028. The business side of things is being looked after very, very well, but it speaks to the culture at the club that people want to stay.
It's feels like Arsenal's come a long way to compared to the times I think most of us can remember where you were fearful of players being enticed away too easily, the best players. And most of the people who leave the club now are pushed rather than pulled, which is a huge testament to the cultural shift, I think, because it wasn't that long ago that you were very worried about players being pulled away. And now... You have to look pretty closely to see people who are not very, very eager to stay and commit themselves. It feels like a place to be. And I think when you look at times in the past when Arsenal have had success, it's always that vibe. It's always that vibe that this is the place to be. I mean, I remember people used to look at each other like almost with astonishment, like, this is the place to be for Dennis Bergkamp and Thierry Henry and Patrick Vieira, you know. And it was the place to be for obviously decades for the famous back four, Tony Adams and company, you know, and the great, great players of the late 80s and early 90s that won a lot of trophies. Nobody wanted to leave because they felt at home. And when you look at the way, say, Martin Ødegaard is conducting himself as captain of the club, he looks like he's in his happy place. And I think that's a feeling that is obviously echoed around the club because everybody's sticking around. There's no sagas, is there? There's no worries about are they going to stay? Are they going to go? The club have done very, very well to... It wasn't easy because you almost have to suffer before you can get on that even keel. And obviously paying a few people to leave and reshaping pruning the squad in ways that were quite painful was part of the process, but they've come the other side and everything's a flower.
Everything is a flower.
Is that a word?
I'm not sure, but I want it to be.
Aren't you worried it isn't?
I want it to be, though. I think you should stick it in the next article, see how people react to it. Okay. She is the Shakespeare of the Athletic, ladies and gentlemen. She invents words as she goes. You know what? If Martin Ødegaard's in his happy place, I'm in my happy place as well. On that note, by the way, if you haven't seen, there's a clip of Emmanuel Petit being interviewed and talking about when he left. And he left for a woman. He went to Barcelona. He regretted, I don't know if it was about the woman that he regretted or just leaving Arsenal. I'm actually not sure. But there was a real element of sadness about it. And oh, I sort of
deep.
I've got that.
It was deep, wasn't it? Incredibly candid to say something like that on camera.
He looked really sad, didn't he? He looked really sad. If you don't know the history, he went off. He left to go to Barcelona. And we all went, well, okay, Barcelona. But he never wanted to go, as it turns out.
He was always a very, very emotional person.
That is true.
Manu Petit.
That is true. Well, it's worth watching that interview.
It was remarkable. And again, just that little tiny bit of insight. We think we know what's going on in people's lives, talking about Benjamin White and, you know, his England situation, for example. We don't have a clue.
No.
And we might never know, or something might slip in 20 years down the line.
That's true.
That gives you a bit of understanding.
We have no idea what is a flowering in people's heads.
We have no idea what AI images might be dropping. To confuse a lot of us.
There's that as well. This is Handbrake Off with Ian Stone, Amy Lawrence, and Arthur, to give him his full name, DeRoche.
I know it's not.
Our producer Ben told me to say that. I think it's funny, though. Anyway, we'll be back in a short moment.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX, stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
They get a handbrake off and you can see that they are more free to play.
Ian Stone, Amy Lawrence and Art DeRoche here on the Athletics Arsenal podcast, Handbrake Off. I haven't spoken to either of you since Porto, by the way. Amy, as I was leaving, you were standing in the press area and you went, I need a hug. I went, I'm happy to hand one out, Amy. How many days did it take you to recover?
Oof, I'm not sure I'm there yet. No, I've had other things to preoccupy me since then. But no, I did need a hug. those ones that are really stressful, it is, you know, you're working and you obviously prioritize getting on with your work, but I just find that physically, just watching matches of that sort of magnitude, it's really hard to sort of feel contained and reserved. So sort of sitting in a press box, and there's a few of us that just got up towards the end and just stood at the back against the wall at the back of the press area. So at least you've got a little bit of movement, which is helpful. But yeah, you just feel like you need, it's a physical thing as well as a thing in your mind, an emotional thing when you're watching football, I think. But again, I'm a massive fidget, so maybe.
You're holding tension. You're holding all that tension. Oh, were you there as well? You were there,
yeah,
weren't you?
So I was sat next to Amy. I think
they're hard to sit next to her.
No, we handle it quite differently, I think. Like, whereas she needs to kind of stand up and stuff, I kind of like almost condensed myself just in the whole stress of it all. Which probably is not a good thing, because I just got a bit more stressed. I'd say I'm still recovering, because my sleeping pattern's just been in tatters.
Wow.
That game. But
hey, it's only going to get worse, by the way. Hopefully. I mean, I'll say worse, but yes hopefully better as well. Bayern Munich in the quarterfinals. Art, do you remember the last time we played Bayern Munich? I mean, we got beat 5-1 in both games. I mean, you were young, but pretty horrible. I mean, we kept getting through. We kept getting finishing second in our group, and then getting Bayern Munich in the first knockout stage and getting absolutely battered. I mean, they're not the side they were, and neither are we. This is really a 50-50 game, isn't it, at this point?
Yeah, and I think obviously people would probably prefer the home game to be the second leg, but with the ban that Bayern have, I think it's a massive opportunity to just go there and go for it from minute one.
Yeah.
Be completely different to the first leg in Porto, where everything just seemed a bit contained, and actually just feed off the energy that should be at the Emirates on that evening. So yeah, I'm not saying I'm like massively confident, but I'm more hopeful that the side and the crowd can be competitive on the night and really show up.
There'd be a hell of a noise, wouldn't there, Amy? I mean, 60,000 Arsenal fans. Harry Kane will get some abuse, I think it's fair to say. But really, and as much as obviously he will be part of the whole narrative, we'll get into this much more before the game. We're a completely different team now, and a lot of the pundits fancy us to go a long way in this competition. I think the boys feel the same way. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I wasn't upset by the Bayern draw at all. I thought, yeah, we can beat them.
Is that a question?
Yeah, it's more of a statement-y sort of question, really. What I wanted really was broad agreement, Amy, if I'm honest. But you can... Amy, look, hang on a minute. Amy, do you agree with that last statement?
There's some a question of it. For you. Some of it, but not all of it.
Which is a bit you don't
enough,
agree with.
I don't love games with no away fans, actually. I don't necessarily want so many of them that it dominates. But I think you need a bit of that edge sometimes, and a bit of that kind of live competition. I also genuinely believe that Arsenal's crowd, while it, you know, obviously has improved loads lately, and it's quite a lot of effort that's gone into that behind the scenes, I do think the crowd still gets... it kind of fluctuates between really, really, really excited. And in that first 5 minutes or so of the Porto game, I did think to myself, Christ, my ears are tingling. This is like as loud as it's ever been around here. But also, when the nerves kick in, everyone just does go quiet. And that did happen during the Porto game as well. So you can have an assumption that 60,000 people are going to be, you know, blaring away at top volume for 90 plus minutes. But the reality is that the crowd, I think, because it's been a while since Arsenal have been at this level and they want it so badly, still are quite susceptible to anxiety, which quietens everybody down. So if Bayern are playing really well and having a lot of the ball and Arsenal are a bit under the cosh, I think there's no guarantee that it's going to be hostile and difficult. So it's going to ebb and flow like the match does, I think.
Yeah.
But as far as the, you know, any sort of using the previous five ones as a barometer or comparison, just think very, very simply, Arsenal are much, much better than those teams. And Bayern are maybe not as good as those teams right now. So I think there is a levelling.
10 points behind Leverkusen at the moment. I mean,
I don't think there's as much to be afraid of in terms of like, oh God, you might get smashed here, which, you know, was something in the atmosphere in those games in years gone by.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I definitely won't be going to the game with the same trepidation I had going to the Bayern Munich game. We had a mate of ours who sat with us after the home leg, and it was his birthday. We'd all arranged to go out afterwards and eat, and we got beat 5-1. It's really one of the most miserable birthday parties I think we've ever had.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
First leg, Tuesday, 9th of April, return in Munich on the 17th of April. We'll talk about that tonight, closer to the time. We'll be back next week and we're going to do a preview of another enormous game, Manchester City away. Before we do that, let's have a song to finish. Amy, what's your song?
Because people are deciding to stay, which is great news. I'm going to go for Brian Ferry and Let's Stick Together.
What have you got for us?
I'm sure you've heard it.
Do you know what? The way he's laughing makes me think I might not have done. But go on.
It's by someone called Logic.
Love Logic. Love yes. Logic.
Although he kind of fell off a little bit.
He did, didn't he? I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was all about Logic for a while and then he fell off. That's exactly what me and my mates were saying.
Yeah. It's not like it was with the early stuff.
Yeah.
No. So.
This is back from his mixtape days, which I'm sure you guys...
Oh, I love the mixtape days!
Pretty self-explanatory. It's called Set the Tone. I'm hoping Arsenal do that when they come back against Manchester City and go from there. Sinatra shot you, goddamn you!
Is this what you want? Logic.
You are watching a master.
You have interfered with our affairs for the last time.
Many men wish to acquire fame for the wrong reasons. Fans tell
right, I, for Benjamin White, I am what I am by Gloria Gaynor. I mean, there's a number of versions, but I absolutely love that song. And I think it suits Benjamin White quite a lot. That's it for this edition of Handbrake Off. Thank you to Arturo De Roche. Thank you, Arturo's nice. Thank you to Amy. There is no way I can lengthen Amy. Amy just does Amy, and that's it.
Amelia is the one you can use if you wanted to try and lengthen. I don't know what a longer version of Ian though is.
No, there is no one. No, there is not one. No,
can we create one?
You go for it, okay? You enjoy yourself, not yourself out, Amelia. And Ian Stone, Amy Lawrence, and
Ivanovich.
Ivanovich. Yeah, my old Russian and Polish relatives would love that. We'll see you next week. Ta-ra.